Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Each and every day here on the Jeff Calkins Show, we welcome Chris Harrington to the program. Let's fire it up. Chris Harrington joins us now. Chris, what are we listening to?
Breakthrough by Memphis great Isaac Hayes, instrumental from the Truck Turner soundtrack. Sending that out to Oklahoma City Thunder, who broke through to the conference finals as the top seed this year after coming up short last spring.
How big of a development do you think this is?
For the Thunder, it's a pretty meaningful one for a young team to break through to that level for the first time. I mean, you know, when you're the one seed, you sort of expect to get there, but they came up short a year ago, and, you know, it took them seven games in this one, so I think that's a meaningful breakthrough for the Thunder. And I think it's probably good setting. I mean, I was rooting for the Nuggets personally in that series, but once you got to game seven there with the Gordon injury on top of the Michael Porter Jr. injury on top of the lack of depth of that team, I felt like the Nuggets were sort of running out of gas. So even if they'd snuck through in that series, I think they would have been pretty diminished going into the conference finals. So I think this Final Four, I think it's probably better for the NBA and better for basketball generally to have the Thunder in this Final Four than a diminished Nuggets team. And I think it sets up a really interesting, you know, conference finals now that, you know, it definitely signals a little bit of a changing of the guard. None of these teams have been in the finals recently. Three of the four franchises have never won a title. The Knicks haven't won a title since the 70s. And while all these teams are good, none of them are structured like the super teams we got accustomed to, you know, half a decade or more ago. And so it feels pretty fresh, I think.
Do you think we actually are in an era of parity now?
I think more so. More so than we were. I mean, this will be something like the seventh straight new champion in terms of not having a repeat team. Oklahoma City's really good. In terms of what they did in the regular season, their record, the point differential, the whole thing. I mean, they have all the markings of an all-time kind of team, except for it doesn't look that way in terms of the structure. But maybe it'll look that way in 10 years when you look back and, like, Chet Holmgren's become, you know, right now Holmgren and Jalen Williams are on sort of their rookie deals. But you may look back and think, well, that was just a young version of a super team, depending on where those guys get, you know, in terms of their careers. But I do think, and even Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who will probably win MVP, there are different kinds of MVPs. He is not the Giannis, Jokic, LeBron kind of guy. He's more like the James Harden, Russell Westbrook kind of MVP. Yeah. And so it does seem like the idea of what you have to break through to a conference finals or beyond, I think this does sort of open that up a little bit. And since one of the, you know, two of these teams will make the finals and one will win a title, the idea that, you know, you don't have to have the one absolutely overwhelming best player in the league guy, which SGA is still not. Even winning the MVP, no one thinks he is, you know, he is head and shoulders above the league. In fact, most people would have him as the second or third best player in basketball at best. And the idea that you don't have to have that kind of team to get to that point, to me, it's refreshing. And people can debate whether that's good or bad. Some people like the dynasty kind of stuff. But I think these playoffs have been great, and I like the competitiveness and the sense of possibility that this sort of framework brings to different teams.
Well, because that was kind of the question that I've been kind of pondering. Is Oklahoma City the team that has figured out roster construction under the new CBA the best? And how much of that is repeatable versus they were willing to kind of like stink and then they acquired all these picks? And like, you know, to me, it's like a certain degree of like, I don't know how much you can point to and say, well, just do it like that. Because I know a lot of people are like, oh, look at how great they're built. It's like, well, I tip my cap to them, but I don't know how repeatable it is, because that's kind of the – I was listening to Windhorse. I think he was on the press box with Brian Curtis last week. And the thing that he said that really stuck out to me was, in this era of the CBA, if you're going to pay your third guy, he's got to be really good. And I started thinking, like, well, how many teams are really going to have that? And is that maybe something to avoid, because – it seems like paying your third guy is what is handicapping a lot of teams.
Well, I mean, their second and third best players are on rookie contracts.
Right.
And that's not going to
be. How many teams can actually
case,
do that?
Right. Yeah. And so, I mean, they have a lead guy, and the lead guy is no longer on a rookie contract in SGA. He's going to win MVP, but they have like a top five, top 10. They have a true lead guy, which you have to have. And their second and third guys are rookie contracts, but they're already at all-star level production. And then you're able to build like a really good team around that. And so this Thunder team is kind of like a better version of that Grizzlies team a few years ago that broke through, where, you know, Jaren, Dez were collectively like basically a couple guys on a rookie deal. And maybe Jaren was off of his at that point. And so it wasn't quite a matchup in terms of the best player, but you had the same kind of deal where two of your top three guys were still on rookie deals, and you had good veteran guys around them. And, you know, we've litigated it over and over again how sort of that sort of broke up or didn't, you know, sort of got off track. But, you know, this other team will have to make choices too when those guys have to get paid. But the fact that their guys got so good so fast sort of has allowed them to have a team that's this deep. And obviously they've done all kinds of good stuff in terms of, you know, in terms of trades, in terms of finding guys, et cetera. I think they've done an exceptional job of building their team. I don't think you can just look at it and replicate it. It takes too much luck and too much good decision-making. But even with all the good luck and the good decision making they've had, it's still a short term thing, because these guys are going to get paid in the next couple of years, and then it's going to change.
Well, like, to your point, it almost felt like to me the lesson of the last couple of playoffs is functional depth. I'm not talking 1 through 14, but it does seem to me like the teams that have really either surprised or the teams that have been left standing at the mountaintop, it's the teams that 1 through 8 have depth. And then I'm just kind of like going, well, okay, that's, you can reach a conclusion, but the question is how difficult it is to get there.
Well, it's also the teams who's 1 through 8 have stayed healthy.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. And that's not a matter of luck, right? Like, if you look to the Grizzlies, like, you know, two of their top 8 guys in any formula are clearly susceptible to injury. I'm talking about Ja Morant and Brandon Clark, right?
Yep.
And so it's not just about luck. But that is part of it. And, you know, again, the Nuggets dealing with injury stuff to Michael Porter Jr. and Aaron Gordon, the Celtics with injury/illness to Jason Tatum and Kristaps Porzingis, the Cavs with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and Darius Garland the most, and et cetera, et cetera. And so there is a bit of a war of attrition in the playoffs, and that, you know, this Minnesota team has like stayed healthy all year, and like, maybe they've done some good things, or maybe they've gotten lucky, but like, you look at that team and like Mike Conley seems like he could have a hamstring any second now, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, Rudy Gobert is not a young guy. I think they've just sort of been fortunate, and those guys have stayed healthy. The Thunder, they're young, and their young guys are not as susceptible, you know, in the way that Ja is, and so that's probably part of it for them. you know, Indiana sort of on the young side, but like, you know, Pascal Siakam could have turned an ankle. I think there's been, it's part team construction and it's part luck, but I think it's not just the depth, it's the health. And the health has been the main driver. That's been the real separator. And obviously the Warriors with Curry is sure. The other one. I think health has been the separator once you get to the level of the second round. I think it's sort of talent until you get to the second round, and the real difference since then has been health.
Well, Giannotto was at the combine last week, and he said he was talking to one executive in the league, and he said, you know, the thing that kind of stands out now is it's almost like you have to build two rosters. You have to build one roster to get you to the playoffs and then another right. one to get you through the playoffs. And it's one of those things where I wouldn't push back and say, well, but at the same time, it's like, how realistic is that proposition? You know what I mean? Like, that feels like it's one of those things that's easier said than done.
Well, I think it's important, and this is something the Grizzlies have been good at. It's important to be able, you know, you talk about the functional depth. It's important to be able to find guys, you know, at the margins, at marginal contracts, who can really give you good minutes, you know, whether it's, you know, the Scottie Pippins and the Jalen Wellses and the guys like that. The Thunder have like a truckload of these guys. They got guys like this who don't even play. Like, they have a second round pick named A.J. Mitchell, who I think is really good. He just doesn't even play because they don't need him to. I think that kind of thing is important. And so, yeah, I mean, playoffs are different to a degree, and that's where you wonder about the upside of your best players. But for the Grizzlies, it's not just been upside, it's also been availability, because their best guy gets hurt, you know?
Well, and then I think the other aspect of this is it seems to me that they are allowing more contact even in the regular season. They've always allowed more contact in the playoffs, but now that you're allowing more contact in the regular season and then you're allowing even more contact in the postseason, it's like I almost start to wonder, like, does that change how you scout players? Because, like, durability is always going to be something people value, but, like, I almost wonder, like, should it be even more important? Like, are we really getting to an era where the best ability is availability?
Yeah, I do think, and it's sometimes hard to project that out going forward when you're bringing in young players.
100%.
Right?
Especially when even if they play a lot of college basketball, they play, you know, 40 games.
Right. But I do think the durability question should be a significant one in player evaluation. And I think if you're a team that already has issues, like the Grizzlies does, it should maybe even be more of one, right? Like, I don't know if you're the Grizzlies. If you're looking at free agents to sign, like, maybe you're going to sign somebody, you know, who's going to be more of a seventh man, eighth man type. And, you know, looking at injury history probably is more paramount now than it would be otherwise because of what you already have on your roster where that's an issue. And so I think about team construction in terms of, you know, I think, you know, you hope to get Brandon Clark back. It's not a surgery thing. But do you need to think about, okay, what's your team going to look like if he's not playing in the playoffs, right? And be able to account for that. And that's actually something I've been thinking about. There's been so much focus. I'll write about this at some point. There's been so much focus on the Grizzlies on the wing. That's always their focus all the time. I'm starting to think more and more about their front court depth and whether, you know, in terms of the functionality of that, and whether that's sort of an underrated thing for the team to look at next season.
This is a question I got at Smoke Slam a lot from my buddies. And I'm curious to know what you think of it, because the front court is obviously, to me, like, that's something that I would at least have highlighted on the needs to address. If Jaren does not make third team All-NBA, how realistic is it to address that? Because it seems to me what cap space you would have available, you're going to at least attempt to use that cap space to renegotiate and extend Jaren. Am I off base in that?
No. I think that is something they will probably seek to do if he does not make All-NBA, and that does limit your avenues. It doesn't shut everything off, right? You know,
I'm not saying like you throw your hands up and say like, "Well, we're done here." Like, but it does feel like that gives you.
You're gonna no matter where you are, for the most part, you're gonna have some level of free agency exception you can use, right? And so, the highest one is, not to get too deep in the weeds, but the highest one is the non-taxpayer MLE, which is like $14 million. And there are scenarios where they can have access to that. If they have to use cap space to try to renegotiate and extend Jaren Jackson, you won't have that. But there's something called the room exception that you still get even if you're under the cap, right?
Yep.
There's also a thing called a biannual exception, which every team has unless you've used it the year before. What I'm talking about with front court stuff is not I'm talking about lower-level free agents who could actually impact your team. And one of the things I look at, and I'm going to write about this at some point, but I don't know, when I look at the coaching change and the way Isolo seems to want to play,
yep.
I don't know if Jay Huff is someone who, I think he's more valuable in the way the Grizzlies played early last season than the way they played late in the season after the coaching change. And I wonder if they want to emphasize screening and offensive rebounding with their bigs, do they only want to emphasize that with one big, right? Or if you want to play that way with Zach Edey, don't you want someone else on the roster who can sort of play the same way, you know,
yes.
when Edey's on the bench or if he misses 15 games?
I'm a big believer in identity.
So I wonder from a skill set perspective whether their front court mix matches enough with how they want to play and whether there are some things at the margins they can do to meaningfully impact that.
The other thing I was thinking about is, because I agreed with you at the time that Minnesota and New York makes the trades, like, well, that was a financial decision by the Timberwolves. Like, they can spin it however they want and say, like, oh, you know, we like how we played better. But have we gotten to a point where maybe that trade is both teams kind of got what they wanted out of it?
Well, it was an interesting trade for Minnesota because it was a financial decision to the extent that if the tax implications had not been there, they probably would not have made the trade. But it was the kind of deal where I think they could reasonably believe, and it turns out to have been the case, that this will fix our tax issues, or this will reroute our team salary in a way we need to, while at the same time giving us a chance to be as competitive. So it's not so much that they made that deal because they thought it would be that would make them better basketball-wise. They thought it would be a good financial move that would be at least a lateral move that would allow them to continue to contend at the same level. That was the bet. This is a good move for us financially that won't be a step back on the court. And that's been exactly the case. I mean, they were in the conference finals a year ago with Towns, right?
Yep.
So it's not like, they're back to the same place they were. But the fact that they were able to fix their long-term financial stuff without taking a step back competitively, that's exactly what they were hoping that trade would do, and that's what it's done.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is that a blueprint for the Grizzlies to explore?
It could be. I mean, the Grizzlies were not in the conference finals a year ago, so, like, they're trying to be better, not stay the same. But I do think, you know, it's an interesting question, and I wrote about this sort of my first thing of the offseason after the final media day. I mean, the number one thing the Grizzlies are facing is this question of their big three,
yep.
Morant, Jackson, Bain, and keep it together or break it up. And I do wonder, if Bain is your third guy, are there roster constructions that don't have, you know, Desmond Bain as the third guy making $40 million, is that really the best roster construction? Are there other constructions you can do that would change the makeup of your team a little bit, but not be a step backward? You know, it depends in part on what kind of deals are out there for you. But I could see questions like that, right? Can you do more lateral moves, whether that's with Bain, whether that's with Jaren? Could you move one of those three guys in a way that's not a rebuilding trade? It's a shake up the framework of your team trade and just have a team that's as good or better, but just looks a little bit different. I do think that's something the team has to be thinking about.
The other thing that I was thinking about a little bit is most people seem to believe, okay, Boston's not going to be able to run this back. But now that you have Tatum with the Achilles and you're going to have Brown with the meniscus, are they now the most interesting team in the offseason? Because it seems to me that they are signaling, well, we're going to have to shake this up a certain way. But it's like when you have that much injury concern, that feels like it's really going to be easier said than done.
Yeah, the Brown meniscus thing is a real sort of curveball on that to me. I think it was going to be hard to deal him for the kind of value you would want to warrant trading him anyway, given the size of his contract. I'm doing a Grizzlies mailbag this week, and I've had questions about, you know, the Grizzlies trading for Jaylen Brown, and like, he's on a deal that's going to top out at 60-something million. I just don't see that happening, you know? But now when you add in the meniscus thing, I think that's harder to deal him for value. I think the move for the Celtics is probably to see what you can do. And I think they're going to be reluctant to deal Derek White, even though he is good value. I think the move for the Celtics is to sort of tell yourselves, when we come back, this is probably something of a gap year this year with Tatum out. I don't know if you can bottom out and be like a high lottery team, but you can't, you know, you're going to be what you're going to be.
Right.
And when you come back from that, if you're going to compete with Tatum as your best player again, it's probably not going to be with Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis on the roster. And so if those guys aren't going to be there on the other side of this, let's try to move them now. And I think if they could find deals that would move those guys while shaving salary and bringing their money down, you know, different apron levels, I could see that happening this summer. And then you try to regroup and build a different kind of team around Tatum, Brown, White a year from now.
What type of player is Drew Holiday in 2025?
He's a good player who's making twice the money you would want him to make. You know,
Isn't that the problem with a lot of guys?
Yeah, he's Alex Caruso, but he's twice as expensive as Alex Caruso and maybe not quite as good right now. I mean, I'd love to have him. Like, if you told me, you know, if you had Drew Holiday on the Caruso money for $17 million or whatever it is instead of $35
million, right.
I'd love to have that guy and have him in the same role. Like, you know, he could be your third guard who, like, comes off the bench and just guards the other team's best player no matter what and, like, is a good veteran. And I'd love to have that guy, but I would love to have him at this stage of his career for $35 million, and I think he's making something like that for the next 2 or 3 years.
What do you think we learned this week when the Bucks and Giannis meet?
You know, I was actually talking to somebody over the weekend who's a Bucks season ticket holder and, like, you know, probably knows people, like, you know, third hand. This is third hand information,
yeah.
So I wouldn't make too much of it. But this is the kind of guy who, like, probably, like, knows some of the minority owners, like that kind of guy,
yep.
You know. And he was telling me that, like, there's lots of scuttle in Milwaukee about they don't want to trade Giannis and they're not sure he wants to be traded. There are people around him, like family and stuff like that, who's, like, happy to be in Milwaukee and sort of are not urging him to leave. And that the idea that he could just stay and be, like, you know, the franchise guy and, like, be the Dirk of Milwaukee is something that, like, not only are they holding out hope for, but they think there's a good chance that's still what's going to happen. But I don't know. I mean, maybe that's people in Milwaukee talking themselves into that. I don't think it's dead certainty that he's going to get dealt, though. I could see a scenario where he stays. And so I don't know what's going to come out of that. But I don't think it's a given that he's going to be traded this summer.
All right, then let's take a look at these two series. I guess let's start in the West because – Jeff and I were talking. One thing that's kind of stood out about the Timberwolves is they're sitting here at 8-2. They're in the Western Conference Finals again. But there's this weird thing of I've watched all 10 of their games, and I just keep wondering the whole time. It's like, they don't look that good, but at the same time, they keep moving on. And I just can't decide if I'm using too critical of an eye. How do you kind of size up where they are right now?
Yeah, I think it's hard to get a read on them. I think that Lakers team just sort of got exposed a little bit in the playoffs. It's just not being very good other than having a couple of, like, big names on the team. Like, the team itself wasn't that good. And I think Golden State, like, was, and then Curry got hurt. And Butler got hurt, you know, the round before and wasn't all the way there. And so I think if Curry doesn't get hurt, I don't know that Minnesota wins that series, even though they won it fairly easily when he went down. I think you saw them struggle offensively a little bit with Golden State from time to time. And so, you know, I favor Oklahoma City in the series. I think they have enough defensive guys to throw at Ant. And I wonder about Minnesota's offense if Ant sort of gets corralled a little bit. And so, you know, I agree with you that it's hard to get a handle on how good Minnesota actually is, just because I don't think they got fully tested in the first two rounds of the playoffs. The way that OKC, I think, did get tested in the second round against Denver. So we'll see. I think the front court guys are really important for Minnesota. I think Randall and Gobert, because OKC is a little bit thinner up front, and they like to play small. We've seen Caruso. It was sort of funny hearing some podcasts today about what a revelation it was that Caruso was so effective guarding Jokic. I was like, you guys clearly didn't watch the first round.
You should have watched the first round. You could have seen some really interesting things.
Well, it underscored, I think it's maybe a helpful reminder for some Grizzlies fans, too, that I think there were people who thought, like that was a mismatch in the Grizzlies' favor when they put Caruso on Jaren. But they chose to do that for a reason. And they chose to do the same thing against Jokic. And so is that going to work against a Randall who's so bullish, right? And if not, are they going to have to stay big? So I think if Randall and Gobert can be effective enough to force Oklahoma City to stay big and not get to those small ball lineups, maybe they could hang in the series. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to score well enough against Oklahoma City. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep from turning the ball over.
Well, that was my biggest question. Like, am I just being really dumb? But it's like, if you can't take care of the ball against the Lakers and the Warriors, good luck against OKC.
Yeah, I mean, we saw OKC, like, do that against Denver. Like, you know, the turnover, layup,
yeah.
Sort of avalanches.
I've seen that before.
And so, you know, Minnesota is rested. And Oklahoma City will be coming off, you know, a quicker turnaround. But I think The same event I was at where I was talking to a Minnesota Bucks season ticket holder. I was also talking to a Minnesota season ticket holder, and they very much wanted Denver to win that series from a matchup perspective and because of just how worn down Denver was going to be.
Yep.
And I think Minnesota's probably going to the NBA Finals if Denver wins Game 7 in OKC. And now I don't think that's the case. I think OKC just sort of has too many answers.
The team that feels like the four of the remaining four is Indiana. And the thing that I keep coming back to is, like, are we really undervaluing them? Because I actually think the opposite of, like, what I've thought about Indiana, where it's like, forget what you saw in the regular season, but during their two playoff series, I have found them to be incredibly impressive, yet here they are, and it just feels like they're getting overlooked again.
That is actually the team of the four that's probably playing the best basketball right now.
Yeah.
Is the Pacers. And it seems like they have the least amount of high-end talent, which I think is probably true, although I don't know if the difference is that profound. You know, I mean, Pascal Siakam, like, much like Julius Randle, is a guy who's made a couple All-NBA teams, even though he doesn't seem like an All-NBA player. Tyrese Halliburton is playing great, and how different is he from Jalen Brunson? And, you know, these are all NBA level guards. You know, Jalen Brunson, Anthony Edwards. So I don't know if the talent difference is that profound. I think they have good depth. They're just playing such great team basketball right now. I mean, I tend to favor the Knicks because of the home court, because of the high-end talent, but I don't know, man. I think it's a close call, and I do think at some level it's sort of who's playing best right now. You know, you get into a good groove as a team, and you have that chemistry and that cohesion and that rhythm, and can that carry you through? And I think Indiana's the team that's sort of playing with the best rhythm right now in terms of maxing out, like, what they can be.
Well, and also, do they have the best coach remaining?
Well, they do have a coach who's done this before, in Rick Carlisle, who won a title with the Mavericks, and I think they might. I mean, Dagnall's really good. I've always liked Finch, although he's been up and down. Yeah, these are good coaches, but yeah. If I were just ranking NBA head coaches right in a vacuum, I think I would rank Carlisle first among those four. Yeah.
Chris, really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thanks.
That is Chris Harrington of the Daily Memphian. When we come back, Jeffrey joins the program. We'll talk to him next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You know, one of the nice things about being in Michigan this past week, it's a little nippy to wear my steel jacket from Oak Hall. Now I'm headed back. We're in the land of polos and performance shirts that I have. The new Pierre Millar shorts that I got from Oak Hall. Oak Hall's just an unbelievably great store, honestly, right here in the city of Memphis. If you're looking, for example, for a graduation gift, perfect. You know what's nice? I know people don't wear neckties that much anymore. A beautiful necktie can set off a sport coat or a suit. Just be the perfect touch. And they have absolutely beautiful neckties in there, but all their clothes are beautiful, and their people are incredibly helpful. It was JoJo, who I was in there last, who helped me figure out what I needed to spruce up my wardrobe for this summer. So you, if you are headed to the backyard or to the beach or to graduation parties or to a wedding or wherever you are headed this summer, make sure you're looking your best by visiting what is truly a legendary clothing store right here in Memphis. It is Oak Hall. Jeffrey, there were some NFL stories that happened over the weekend that we have not touched on, and I wanted to get your thoughts on all. There's three big NFL stories that I saw worth noting. One, Brock Purdy got his deal. He is now being paid average $53 million a year. Good deal for Brock Purdy, good deal for the 49ers, good deal for both.
Yeah, I think good deal for both, because if you look at it, I think the key for the Niners was Brock Purdy didn't reset the quarterback market. He basically got the same deal that Tua and Jared Goff got, which is, I think, basically seventh in the league. He also got a no-trade clause, so that allows him to have some control. That, to me, felt like, all right, they were able to pay their quarterback, but they didn't have to completely reset the market. So, to me, that was kind of win-win for everybody.
Well, and let's be honest, it would be absurd to reset the market for Brock Purdy, right? I mean, what you do in this situation, if you're the 49ers, is you say, do we want to pay this quarterback the going rate for a franchise quarterback, right?
Yep.
And you look at Seattle, and they said, no, we don't. Right, we do not believe in Geno, and again, a slightly different situation, but basically,
I like the example. Yes, they made the decision of we put this number in front of him. We think this is fair, and he said no.
Yeah, it's a little bit like, except it's a little bit like in the NBA, if you've got the opportunity to give someone a supermax, right? It's okay to say yes, we think this person's worth the supermax. The supermax is the supermax, or you can say, good player, but just not a supermax player. You know, honestly, it's and then you move on from that player. And so they made the decision that this is our franchise quarterback. This is a franchise quarterback. And yes, it's true. He's had great weapons around him. You know who else has? Joe Burrow. We don't knock Joe Burrow because he's got great receivers. Now it is, on the other hand, Evan Cohen this morning on Sportsmanlike was trying to make the argument that it's a bargain, and it's a bargain because he's making less than Trevor and making less than Tua, right? And to that, I would say, yeah, don't come at me with that.
those two are not worth the money you're paying for them, right? And so because of injury and because of performance issues.
Yeah.
So you can't look at two, I wouldn't say busts, but two guys who are clearly not making the money that they're getting paid and say, well, therefore this guy's a bargain because he's getting less than them. That is evidence that they are overpaid. It's not an evidence that he is a bargain. I think he's probably correctly paid, although the truth of the matter is, would you rather pay 53 for Brock Purdy or 55 for Josh Allen?
I'd much rather pay $55 million for Josh Allen.
I'd much rather pay 55 for Josh Allen, right? Now, would you rather pay 53 for Brock Purdy or 60 for Dak?
53 for Brock Purdy.
Exactly. So but they're all in that range, basically. They're all basically in the 50 to 60 range. And if you can get your franchise quarterback on the lower end of that range, that's better. But it doesn't mean all franchise quarterbacks are created equal. Brock Purdy is not Josh Allen, is not Patrick Mahomes, is not Lamar, I think, right? I mean, or whatever.
Or Burrow.
Right?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What's Jalen Hurts get, though? Like, is he bargain? Is he bargain at this point? He may well be bargain. Or is he in that same sort of, is he in the low 50s?
I want to say his contract was right around what those guys were. Let's see. His cap hit for next year. Nah, he's still a bargain.
That's what I thought. What's he?
His cap hit's only going to be 21.8.
What?
Yeah.
Is that true? Well, that's why their roster is insane.
Wait, no, this is wrong.
Yeah,
this is 51
right.
million.
Right.
51 million next year.
Okay, yeah, low 50s. That's right. Okay, so we think perfectly solid deal for everybody. Reasonable to want him to be your quarterback. It is funny, like he still does get. Why do we not put him in the elite category? Truly. Is it because of where he was taken in the draft, because of his tools, or is he just really, truly out of the elite category?
I think for some, it's where he was drafted, but I think for most people that watch week in, week out, you acknowledge he is a good player, but it's almost like he's kind of in Kirk Cousins' zone, where you're like, you know he's good, but at the same time, you're like, does he really elevate a team? And I think part of that, though, is tools. But, like, he's a better runner than you think, which is different than Cousins. But his arm and the way he misses throws, that is still, I think, what leaves many people to go, like, I just don't know about making this guy, like, the be-all, end-all.
CeeDee Lamb was asked about his new colleague in the receiving corps, George Pickens, and he said, don't give me this, I'm paraphrasing, there's no one, there's no two, there's just both of us. You look on the one side, there's one of us, you look on now, there's two of us. Basically sort of disavowing the idea that he's the one and Pickens is the two. Is that meaningful at all? Is that a good sign of the peace that is to come? Or is that just the kind of thing you say? And check back with me after week two when one of them has more targets than the other and all hell breaks loose.
I think it's a very easy thing to say when you got paid last year.
Ha! You got paid. He has not yet been paid.
Uh-huh. And it's why I am very fascinated by this situation.
It's funny, though. Even if you've been paid, if you aren't getting the catches, even if you aren't, like, it is about the money primarily, first and foremost. But once you have the money, and it's also about your shine, you know what I mean? Your opportunities. You want the ball. Like, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. I don't think people are worried about the CeeDee Lamb part of this.
No, that's the thing is, like, I think everybody's worried about the Pickens part of this because I think everybody kind of acknowledges, like, CeeDee's going to get his opportunities. I think it's everyone wants to know is, well, what's the reaction if you've gone a whole half and Pickens hasn't really been targeted?
Okay, and then we had the story out of Jacksonville where Travis Hunter was being, I guess, I only saw this on social media and I don't know if you noted it. He was being criticized severely for struggling in his routes. He was running routes, and he was being criticized for his route running.
So, like, social media.
At the camp over the weekend.
Social media.
Yeah.
I mean, I will say this.
He was sort of stumbling in and out of some routes. He was, like, he was being, and all of a sudden, it's like, bust.
So, Travis's route running is not a work of art. With that being said, I would still rather bank on, I think a lot of that is more coachable than people realize. I would rather bank on the things that Travis provides and hope that he gets up to speed on the route running. But I also acknowledge he's not a polished route runner at all.
His superpower is his ball skills.
Ball skills, the ability to track the ball, instincts, like just kind of being a football player.
And he's fast. But
and he's, and he's a remarkable athlete.
Yeah.
But it's also why I think he kind of has a high floor, because even if he can't end up being a primary receiver, I still think he can be an all-pro corner.
Yeah, interesting. All right, I did want to, before we sign off, Paul Chandler, Paul Chandler, who's been head of GPAC for so long. It was announced today that he is going to be the new CEO of the Riverfront folks, the partnership, Riverfront partnership. So that's nice to hear. Congratulations. He obviously has done a great job with GPAC, and hopefully will continue the progress along the river where you spent your weekend.
Park still looks great. It really does.
Does it look great?
It's awesome.
So Jody Callahan did a story in the Daily Memphian and quoted folks about how wonderful it is to be on the river. Some did complain like they couldn't see the trees needed trimming or something, like it was there.
No, I mean, there definitely was some overgrowth. Like if you were walking that sidewalk that's closest to the river, there's definitely some overgrowth, but
park looks great.
I can tell you this from our second store balcony on the tent, river looked great.
It looked great. Well, I'm glad to hear. Yes. So that is good to hear. If you want something framed this spring and summer, let's say a diploma, for example, or a sports memorabilia, maybe a jersey from high school or college that your kid will never wear again, or wedding photos, or whatever it is that you want framed that means something dear to you, head on into the Frame Corner. It's what Claire and I did recently. She had prints from her childhood home that she wanted framed. We now have them hanging up in our home. Because let's be honest, I wouldn't begin to know how to do it as beautifully as they did it. This is not you just buy a frame and slap it. This is the perfect frame, the perfect floating, the perfect, like making it look like, honestly, it could go in a museum. Only it's on your wall to have forever, to pass down to your kids. It's about really savoring memories is what it is. So if you have something that you care about that you want custom framed, Frame Corner has been doing it for 50 years. 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue is the address, framecornermemphis.com. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. It's Monday, so that means that Jeff will join them during hour number 3. Coach Hurd will be with me today on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jason Munns will join us during the first hour. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
I'll be back in studio tomorrow. Take care for now. Work is done.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule.
Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.